All right, good afternoon, and welcome to another MTC Studios broadcast from Atlanta. My name is Doug Splinter, and I'm joined by...
Todd Kidda. I'm an architect out of the Minneapolis MTC.
All right, so our topic today is kind of part two of a series that started last week with Dean and Mo, going over modern collaboration. And this time, we really want to focus on our topic of let your data tell its story. And we're going to take two sort of lenses on that approach. The scenario from the last broadcast was all about kind of a busy executive team that was, you know, trying to collaborate over distances and work, you know, from anywhere, getting content ready for some meetings. And we showed how they could collaborate from wherever they were. This time we want to focus on some problems with that same group surrounding data. And what I mean by that is there's really two elements to our particular series today. The first one is your own personal big data problem. I don't know about everybody else out there. My calendar's full of meetings. I know yours is full of meetings. And there's a big difference between busy and effective. So what we're going to do is take a look at how the Microsoft collaboration platform can treat you kind of like a data problem, let you tell a story about the data around your time and your communications and how you're spending it. And that's what I'm going to dive into. And Todd?
And my other side of the coin is I'm actually going to talk about all the data that surrounds you, right? All the data that's inside of your organization, whether that's curated by IT, whether that's data that's being generated inside your department, or whether that's data coming in from the outside. How do you analyze that data and gain insight from that data in a quick and efficient manner?
All right, so our two goals then are the personal data story about you and your time and how we spend it, and then all the data around you and how you can prepare visualizations and gain insight from that data. So let's dive in on the personal insight. First, the obligatory, somewhat obligatory, proof points behind that. So let's kind of throw up that stats on there. And so what we've got right now is, you know, 47% of meeting time is seen as unproductive by knowledge workers. How many people are invited to too few meetings on a weekly basis? Also, look at the percentage of time spent managing email. There's a lot of signal out there, a lot of noise, but not a lot of signal. And so we're always trying to do that. I mean, who has too few emails in their inbox? Now, we give a lot of tools to try and vet that out and try and, you know, give you intelligent views inside of the collaboration environment for it. But those are all, you know, maybe email-centric. And then there's the commitments you make for your time, the calendar, the ways you spend it. So Microsoft's technology platform for trying to bring relevancy to information is the Office Graph. Now, if you're not familiar with this, it's kind of like an intelligent GPS for the information within your organization. It's a framework that connects all the information about you that you have rights to see. So it's all security trimmed and private. But it powers like intelligent search and other content, trying to let the data come to you rather than have to you go search for the data out there. About 90% of the data that's being produced, according to industry stats, has been produced in the last 2 years, 90% of the data that's available out there. But only about 0.5% gets analyzed by people. And so if that's a lot of noise, and we're going after signal. Now, that's the overall enterprise at large. What we want to do is focus in on an individual and try and give benefits back to a person, not just the organizational view. And so Microsoft's approach to doing this is a component of the Office 365 platform called Microsoft My Insights, or My Analytics, sorry. And so My Analytics gives you a lens on two areas of your life. First is your time, how you're spending it, and where it's going. Is it going into email communications and meetings? What do those look like? And then there's the network of people. Now, again, that's powered by the Office Graph, which understands you, your role in the organization, you know, how you're actually spending your time. And then we try and dashboard out and provide insights for you to maybe more effectively use your time. So how can we get some time back? Again, last week was you can work from anywhere. Doesn't mean you want to work all the time. You want to spend your time, which is your most precious resource, wisely. So let's dive in and take a look at a demonstration and really show you the tool as opposed to talking more about it. So this is from within the platform, the My Analytics dashboard. And we'll talk about some other places you can view this data. But let's kind of break it down. We're going to work from the top to the bottom of this dashboard. So I'm going to go ahead and dive in here. And you can look, there's this little how you're spending your time. Now, if you notice up top, it's broken it down to meeting hours, email hours, focus hours, and then your after hours. These are kind of the big blocks of time. Do you commit your time to personal initiatives? Are you in team allocated times? How much time are you spending composing and reading email? Because again, that's one of those big dashboard buckets we talked about from a 28% of time. Now, these goals are personal, and you can adjust them. So if you wanted to say, for my role, these different categories don't have these values, you can certainly tweak that, and then your dashboard will reflect your performance against those individual goals. So the first thing is give you a snapshot how you're spending your time. Now, if we scroll down a little bit, it moves into a section we call the network. Remember, we're after time and the network and how you spend it. So this is a quick dashboard of the people that you collaborate with on a regular basis, and also who you might be losing touch with. So if we look in the upper left, you can see for Isaiah, we spend about 4 hours in collaboration time, an 88% read percentage, and we respond within about 2 hours. The other people across the screen have different stats. And down below it says, hey, here's people you used to be communicating with very frequently, but now you've lost touch with them. Now that might be very normal. You might have just stopped working with them on a given project initiative or something else, but it's just a way for you to understand who are you keeping in touch with and who are you losing touch with. The next element on the screen we want to break into is those meetings. Now, there's been articles in the Wall Street Journal about conference room utilization and everything else going on with meetings. So meetings are one of those things we all have get invited to a whole ton of them. So let's dive in and show you what we can do with the data around meetings. Now, if you look, first we have a little card on the left that shows the average hours the company spends on it and then where you are compared to that. And then we break the meetings down by meetings you've scheduled and the meetings that have others scheduled. And if you want to, you can click in and gain a little more detail on that. Perhaps personally for me, more importantly, and for our busy executive scenario, is the effectiveness and habits of you and those meetings. So we're breaking it down. Hey, how much time in these meetings are you actually multitasking? How many are after hours, and how many of them are you know, recurring meetings that happen all the time? Now, if I click in here on this view details on meeting habits, I get a drill in that shows me exactly how I'm spending my time in the individual meetings. So in this particular case, if you look at the quarterly marketing department meeting, it's a recurring meeting, and I'm guilty, or I perhaps it's appropriate, of doing multitasking in that. So it lets you see how many of these meetings and what categories do they break down. This lets you understand where are you spending your time, and maybe how should you change that on a go-forward basis? Are you spending it wisely is the key thing we're trying to give you. Because again, if you're committing your time to a meeting, and it's one you're always distracted in, that's maybe not what you're after. Next thing is email, right? We're going to dashboard in and talk about how you're spending your time on your email. An average of 10 and a half hours for this person, 6 hours the company average. What's the percent read by you, and what's the percent of your communications read by others? This speaks to corporate communications effectiveness. I'm producing a lot of email, right? And I'm putting it out there, but how much of it's really being read? If I send it to an individual in this case, I'm getting a 90% conversion rate. If I send it to a group, only about 75%. And this maybe could get into the idea of you understanding, am I sending effective communications or not? Now, the next bucket down here is we call focus hours. Focus hours are time you've committed to doing things where basically you're not within meeting. And you set a threshold for that to say, this is kind of your reflection time, your time to get things done without people bothering you. And we want to know, how are you doing on that from a focus hour standpoint? Again, all personal goals you can set. And my last drill-in bucket down here is the after-hours time commitment. So if I come down to here, you can say, hey, here's the after-hours time that you committed in this last week. And again, you can scroll across different timelines and analyze different periods of time. But this really speaks to giving you an insight into your work-life balance. So if we go back up to the top of the dashboard, let's kind of review again the goal here. The goal is to give you insights into how you're spending your time. How are you spending it in meetings? How effective are those meetings? How are you spending it within email communications? How effective are the communications that you're sending and receiving? And what is your work-life balance? Everyone's work is going to be different, so the tool accommodates that. If you notice in the upper corner here, there's this time settings value, and that lets you pick your work schedule. So if I were to work certain days of the week as opposed to Todd work a different hour schedule, the system can accommodate that. So we're trying to give people through this My Analytics, a personal analytics dashboard on your communications and collaboration environment. That's the goal. Now, if you're on the technology side of this, you might be wondering, there's a few different questions that seem to always come up. So let's drill into a little bit of the details as to how that works. So behind the scenes, the My Analytics personal dashboard, there's a nice Office document out there that drills into exactly how all these details are calculated. So we obviously, if you came in and say, well, what does it mean if you say I'm distracted during a meeting, what does that actually mean? Well, if we scroll down here, you can look at, you can see each category and kind of how it's calculated from a value standpoint. And it'll say, here's how we base those individual things. So for example, if I thought you were multitasking in a meeting, what does that mean? Well, in this case, you can see it's more than two emails or read or more than four emails per hour. So you got those kind of stats as to how are we calculating those things. And then duration of email, how much time you're putting in for emails. We know certain times we can trigger the events based on the timeline themselves. Otherwise, we do have some average durations we assign to these things. So all the data behind how this thing works is fully published, so you can understand how the tool is providing it. And I can tell you from personal experience, it's pretty accurate on understanding and busting me for being distracted or for doing other things. And it really helps me understand which of these things am I leaving on my calendar that shouldn't be there anymore, and I need to disconnect because I'm fooling myself that I'm actually attending or doing these things. It's kind of one of those things where you see a bunch of people in a room and their heads are all down at their keyboards instead of listening to what's going on. Now, sometimes they're taking notes or doing things, but in this particular case, we'll be able to tell how effective is that. Now, there's multiple views. This is the personal view. You can also kind of spin it around and have some organizational views, and more things are coming in that space. If I flip back over from a content standpoint, I really wanted to show you a couple of things about the security of the environment as well. So, first, there's three ways you can get access to this data. I showed you the personal dashboard. There's also a weekly digest, yes, another email talking about the effectiveness of your email and communications. But some people are email-centric, and they're not going to go to the dashboard. So if you are an email and an Outlook-centric person, but you're not wanting to go to yet another place, the personal dashboard is valuable, but the weekly digest might be for you. There is also an Outlook add-in that you can see over there on the far side that puts that experience directly within Outlook. So if you're looking at an individual email, we can break that down and really give you some insights into that individual email. Now, I touched on it before, but I want to hit it again. Privacy is incredibly important to us about this. If you think about the kind of lens we're applying to that data, it's nothing more than interesting insights and views on data that you already have access to. All the data is still stored securely in your Office 365, in your mailbox, the rest of it. We're just giving you insights into what it really means. Because how many of you look back to our busy executive scenario, carrying over, have looked back at the end of a week and gone, where did all the time go? How did I really spend my time? What did I do? And if you're like me, or most other knowledge workers, and you're in a lot of meetings, and you're sending a lot of correspondence out, those things take away from the intended time commitments, right? They distract you from your intended purposes. And the goal behind the My Analytics platform is to start giving organizations insight into how busy versus effective our individuals. So that's my part of the story, the personal analytics story. We're now going to transition over and loop Todd into it. And so here's our executive who's maybe taken some time in order to figure out how they're spending their time, just a little personal development investment in order to get you back control of your life, your calendar, and your work-life balance. And let's take a look at another lens on data, which is more all the data that surrounds you and how you can gain insights from it.
Yeah, thank you, Doug. That's good stuff. So first and foremost, just to set some context, I tend to think about data as the three P's of data. So proprietary data, paid data, and public data. So I think that really encompasses all the types of data that are out there. And really, more than ever, we're consuming those types of information inside of organizations. And the nature of that data, such that its volume and its velocity, the speed at which it's coming at us, is ever increasing. So in addition to those challenges, it's become difficult for people to gain an end-to-end view because of all these different data sources into their business, right? Because the things that are happening on social media, the things that are happening in my SaaS application, whether that's my CRM app, my marketing app, and the data internally, all that data affects my business, and it's difficult to break that data out of its silos and get an end-to-end view of the business. And really, it's all about also getting the right data to the right user at the right time. So the data has to be up to date. It has to be delivered on the form factor and the mobile delivery mechanism that really is going to fit the best that user's work style the best. So that could be mobile device. It could be the web browser on my Mac or my PC, right? So those are really the challenges that people are dealing with. And really, what we've brought to market to handle these types of challenges is a solution called Power BI. And as you can see here, what we're really going after is getting data from anywhere, right? And delivering it on any device. So whether that's data born in the cloud, our cloud or other clouds, right? Or the on-premises data that's ever important, that data has to be up to date and has to be trustworthy. So being able to pull in that IT-centric curated data is ever important as well. So, and we do that in a couple different ways. One is, as you might expect, through dashboards and reports. So being able to build dashboards from multiple different data sources that I can drill into and interact with, whether, again, I'm on my mobile device or my PC,
is something that's very, very critical, right? So I need to be able to do that on no matter what form factor I am and get the latest up-to-date KPI and information that I need to drill down to get the answers that I need no matter the device that I'm on. But even furthermore, beyond the traditional, we're really bringing these other experiences to market around the way that users really work. So for example, we put a lot of R&D into a capability called Q&A, which is where I can really just go to my data and say, show me sales by region, or show me sales for this particular person, and actually get an answer back. So much so that if I'm on a Windows 10 PC, I can launch Cortana, ask the question that I want to ask, and I can get an answer right in my start menu without even having to launch over into another app or a web browser. Furthermore, we're working on new and different ways to bring insights to you without having to do manual work on your data. For example, we have a capability called Quick Insights that uses statistics and machine learning that interrogates your data and shows you interesting things that you may or may not be aware of, and then you can keep track of that data as you go. In addition, alerting. So being able to keep track of your information on the go without having to go to a dashboard or report on some regular basis, that data can get surfaced to you via an alert that you create and manage, and you can be on the go. I'm going to show you those features in here in a few minutes. So the first thing I want to start with from a demonstration perspective is this ugly spreadsheet, right? I'm sure if you're in the knowledge worker category, you've seen spreadsheets like this. Someone's emailed something to you like this and said, tell me something interesting about our marketing campaign or about the way that revenue is going in a certain region. So how do I take these rows and columns and gain insight out of that? So the first thing I want to show, and I'm going to weave a story here around starting from simply just accessing the data and visualizing it through to doing things like forecasting and getting insights and data on the go. So the tool that I'm showing you here is called Power BI Desktop. And one of the things that we've done that I think is a huge deal in the marketplace is we've actually made this tool free. So Power BI Desktop, which is the authoring tool, which allows me to get data from all kinds of different places, marry that data together, and visualize it, is a free tool that anybody on the planet can download today. So I'm going to go ahead and just go to this Get Data option here and kind of walk you through the types of things that you can expect. So if I go to this file section here, things that you would expect to see, Excel, CSVs, I can even bring up multiple files together from a folder, or go to the data that's sitting inside SharePoint. I can connect to on-premises databases, whether these are, of course, Microsoft or non-Microsoft databases. And one of the things that we've really put a lot of investment into as well is connecting to third-party SaaS applications. So you can see in here, I can pull in data from a SharePoint list, Dynamics CRM, but also connect to things like Google Analytics and Salesforce. So this is a really big deal for, again, breaking down those barriers across data sources that give you an end-to-end view of your business. So I'm going to go ahead and show you how easy it is to connect to some of that data that I was showing you a minute ago. So Doug actually emailed me some data and said, Todd, I need you to tell me some interesting information about the data that I have. And you can see these are CSV files. All I need to do is go in, select my file from here, and it automatically starts to put some structure to it. And tell me, here's your columns. It's looking at the data and saying, this is a date, this is a number column, and give me back interesting information about that. I can edit the data further if I want to shape that data to look like something different. But one of the other things that you can do is, again, bring data together from multiple sources. So what I've done here is brought those files together from different places, and the tool will automatically try to determine patterns and look for relationships across data sources. So what you're looking at here is that same data that I was just showing you in files, that I removed some of the columns and whatnot, and Power BI automatically detected the relationships, and not only that, but the type of relationship between these different tables. So I don't even necessarily have to be a data modeling expert to gain value out of this data. So now, once I have this data imported, visualization is very easy as well. So once I go up to my visualization area, I have my fields to pick from and a blank canvas on which to paint my data story. So if I go over here and select my date and my requested amount, you can see that I went from two clicks to a visualization. And in my data, all I had was dates. So you can see that it's got some intelligence here around dates. So it automatically builds out a hierarchy from year to quarter to month to day. So I actually want to drill down to quarter to month and look at my data there and change this over to a line chart. Okay? So just a few more clicks, and I'm looking at data across a couple years around my requested amount from a credit card scenario. So what I really need to do is to start gaining some insight and do some forecasting. I don't happen to be a machine learning expert in this scenario, but I can actually use some of the insight capabilities that are built into Power BI over on this analytics tab. If I go to forecast and add, I can instruct the visualization that my data is seasonal on a 12-month cycle, or a 12-month cycle because I'm looking at years, and then it will start to show me upper and lower bounds and a forecast line based on past data. So I'm doing it using advanced machine learning capabilities right inside Power BI, and I just pulled this data in from some files and immediately gained insight from this data. So now, I've gained some insights from this data. I want to publish this data out so that people can view it from the web browser or from a mobile device. If I click this publish button, I'm already signed into Power BI. Once that's published, I'm going to get a dialog here that shows me I can go start analyzing my data inside the Power BI service or view quick insights. Now, I've already referred to this a little bit ago. Here's the quick insights dashboard for that same data. So what it's done here is you can see it's given me quite a bit of different types of visualizations based on the data, again, using machine learning and statistical analysis, to show me things like outliers, to show me trends, to show me majority of contributions. So for example, it's showing me that the majority of data is coming from the gift category, or that my cumulative approved amount is trending upwards over time, or that even showing me some very specific things like North Central and Midwest have noticeably more approved amount for year-over-year growth. So these are things that you could go and, again, find yourself by doing manual analysis of your data, or all you need to do is go in here and use some of the quick insights capabilities to show some outliers or other things like that. And if I want to keep track of this on an ongoing basis, I just pin it to my existing dashboard, and off I go. So from a demonstration perspective, one of the last things I want to show here is keeping tabs on the important data that you've pulled into Power BI on the go. So this is a dashboard where I'm tracking marketing campaigns. One of the things that I want to do is I want to be able to drill in. Let's say if I click on this report, I drill into a visualization that allows me to slice and dice and look at different pieces of the data, maybe by customer segment or popular product. So I can cross drill and do that, get down to that detail. But if I just want to keep track of the average conversion rate, let's say I have an upper and lower bounds that I want to be able to be notified, and I don't want to have to come and look at this every day, but I want to be notified when something's going either really right or really wrong. So I can go to Manage Alerts, and you can see for the average conversion rate metric, I already have a metric called low conversion. So I gave it a title called low conversion. If it's below the 27% threshold, I'm going to get both an email and an alert on my Power BI mobile app. And to add an alert, it's something as easy as high conversion. I can create a new alert, and if I get above 35% conversion, I also want to be notified because that's something to celebrate, and I want to know when things are going very right. So just by doing that from here, that notification is going to get carried over to my mobile application as well. So again, to kind of wrap up, really Power BI is the tool that we bring to you from the platform perspective that enables you to take advantage of, again, those three P's, right? So if we think of proprietary, public, and paid data, Power BI is the tool that allows you to quickly and easily gain insight into that data. So Doug, to bring it back up, to summarize, yeah. We really talked about two sides of the data coin today, right? Side yeah. number one was the personal analytics.
Right. Yeah, so we had that kind of storyline to say, hey, carrying over from last week, you got a busy executive who's on the road doing their stuff, right? My side was, how do you make effective use of your time? How can we give you that dashboard? That's the personal side of the data story, your own personal time data story, which if you look at the visualizations, carried over some of the same thematic elements of cards and stuff from Power BI, right? And then we dove in, obviously, to your just completed story surrounding gaining insights from a lot of different data that's out there across the enterprise. So that's kind of our wrap-up from a demonstration and concept standpoint. Now, we have Q&A open. We have a couple of QA items that have already come in. And so let's go through those, and then we can kind of head into wrap up. So The first one that came in was regarding the Delve Analytics stuff, and it was talked about, can it be aggregated to Power BI for visualizations? And the answer at the moment is no. We're really focused on personal dashboards and some structured views of this data. Mm-hmm. Over time, it has been a big trend inside of Microsoft to publish more and more data to Power BI for visualizations, because we know organizations want to get that. But remember, right now, we're very concerned about having those lenses on data insights for it, making sure we got all the right signals and the rest of those things. So there is a user voice out there. Name of the product got changed at Ignite to the Microsoft My Analytics. It used to be called Delve Organizational Analytics. So there's user voice out there for the product, and it's certainly a feature vote that you can put out there if it's not already out there from a requirement standpoint. The next one on org analytics was, can the time management stuff be used to positively impact or alter corporate culture and expectations? And I believe yes. I mean, there certainly is an element to it if you look at it where people have this instinctive reaction to say that could be abused by certain organizations if they used it. So can it? It's like anything else. It's data. And the data's always been there, buried in inboxes and calendars and the rest of it. We're now drawing insights out for your business in order to do that. And that can be used positively, and that's the way we want it to be used. That's why we let people set personal goals. We do not want this to be a Big Brother tool. We want it to be a tool for you to be reflective on how effective is your time. Because everybody's concerned, you know, more about that work-life balance and the fact that all these devices let us work from anywhere, which is great. That's last week. This week we want to talk about, let's be effective about our time. And I do believe you're going to see more and more organizational views and effective communications. We showed you kind of the personal lens on it. There's more coming from that group over time. You can stay, you know, tuned into the blog to see where we're going with it. But right now we're really focused on those canned views, personal productivity. Sure. And we want it to be a positive impact for our users, which is why we've been so careful about the security and privacy around the service
so far. Very important.
Now, a couple of ones that came in for you. First one was, does Power BI provide customized visualizations?
So that's an easy
one. That's a bit of a softball for Todd.
That's a bit of a softball. Yeah, exactly. The answer is yes. Yeah. So we actually, if you go out and do a search, there's the Power BI visualization gallery. We've actually open sourced our gallery, so we have a lot of people building really, really cool visualizations. So there's several dozen out there. Think of it as an app store for visualizations. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do some volunteer work with an organization. I'm not a data person, I'm more a productivity person, but I use this tool to help out with a regional marathon organization. We've gained insight over our corral performance and all sorts of stuff. And some of the custom visualizations were really necessary for our group to like the data view, because the charts and graphs were not cutting
it. You gotta
make
it your own.
Yeah, you had to make it our. We had to make it feel really, really personal, and the visualizations let you get that. The next one we had was, does all your data have to get put up into the cloud?
So the answer is no.
No.
So Microsoft is definitely, from a cloud perspective, really all about the hybrid story. So what needs to stay on-premise can stay on-premises, and what can come to the cloud or born in the cloud can stay there. So we have capabilities, won't go too deep, but we have a gateway that actually allows you to keep your data live and up to date in Power BI while staying inside of your firewall.
Great. So then I guess that the gateway brings it to the next question we had queued up there was, what about refreshing the data?
So same kind of deal. The gateway actually allows you to, as I kind of alluded to, keep that data refreshed on a schedule, or you can actually connect to your live corporate data right from Power BI, even from your mobile device. So I could be on the go on my mobile device refreshing my dashboard, and that's actually pulling the data from my on-premises data source.
Great. We had a couple more questions coming in on sort of the My Analytics, you know, kind of roadmap features and stuff.
Sure.
And I think we're going to have to shelve those for a different time, just because they're kind of more forward-looking than they are current functional requirements. But if there is any other Q&A out there, we'll give it a couple seconds to come in. So again, to rehash today, the Let Your Data Tell Its Story, part of our modern collaboration series. First part of the series, Work From Anywhere. Second part of the series, let's gain some insights both to business data and into your personal time management, kind of where you're going and what's happening with that. And the series will go forward, you know, continuing the topics around that. And so please stay tuned for the further broadcast from MTC Studios. Hopefully you find our content useful for you to go forward and explore and really try out these tools. My Analytics is sort of a passive thing. You can go experience that right now if it's enabled within your Office 365 tenant. Yeah. If you have the rights to use that tool, you can just go start using it within the environment. And then obviously...
Yeah, I would even say from a Power BI perspective, as I mentioned, Power BI Desktop, completely free to anybody, whether you have Office 365 or not. So it's a quick and easy way to get started. Gaining insight into your data is just downloading the Power BI Desktop tool.
Yeah, we've done a lot of that with like K-12 educators and students and stuff, teaching people how to build a little more effective reports, you know, based off of data and everything. So that's one anyone can use. If you're tired of, you know, boring looking, you know, grids in Excel, or you get ugly spreadsheets like Todd did in his scenario, which we all get, it's something you can take advantage of right now. So that's it for us from MTC Studios in Atlanta. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.
For the Modern Communication Series. Take care.
Goodbye.
Thank you.